This episode is brought to you by United Faith Mortgage.
Hey, I am out with my friend Shannon, and she has the best Holy Spirit story of kindness. Tell us about it, Shannon.
Well, I am Nicole's friend, and we are sisters from different misters.
You cannot say that. Yes, you can. Say whatever you want.
Yeah.
We look a lot alike. That's what she's talking about.
Yeah. So I have a kindness story that was very Holy Spirit led, and it leaves me wondering, when you feel that nudge, what do you do about it? Or do you think that it's a nudge that's coming from your own brain, your own mind? Or do you know that it's a Holy Spirit nudge? Now, I did not know that for a very long time. It took me quite a while to understand that the things that were coming into my head weren't my own brilliant thoughts or my own brilliant ways of being kind, but that they were messages that I was getting from God about something that I should do. And so this particular kindness story was a nudge to make supper for a friend. And I know this friend is just like me in that she would say, no, don't do that for me. I'm fine. I'm good. And I couldn't figure out why I just kept getting that nudge that I needed to make supper for her. And I didn't really ask her. I kind of told her that I was going to be doing this because I knew she would say, no, not necessary. Turns out the day that I brought her supper turned out to be a day that I didn't realize was a very, very stressful day for her, and that it was much needed on that particular day. And then later I was able to share that with her, that I almost didn't follow the nudge, and that her and I were both so glad that I did.
Welcome to the Kindness Podcast. I'm Nicole Phillips. Today we get to hear from Christina Dankert.
I truly believe that even the youngest listener, a 3 or 4 year old, could answer those questions such as, well, how can you make someone smile?
Christina is an elementary educator with a passion for literacy. She believes we can change the world through children's literature and by reading to the children in our lives. Her debut children's book, The Kindness Machine, takes us into Mr. Wilson's second grade classroom, where students learn the power within themselves to be kind. Please welcome Christina Dankert.
Hi there. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for talking with us. And I would love for our listeners to get to know a little bit more about you. Would you want to tell us about your family?
Absolutely. So I'm in Ohio, and I'm with my husband, Chad, and our 2 kids. It's an exciting time for us because we're into sports and activities, but we're out of diapers and naps and all that. So it's really great.
What ages are your kids? You have a second grader?
I have a third and a first grader.
Oh, okay. Yes. Will either of the kids, have they been or will they be in your classroom?
No, we are in different buildings, so I get to wear my mom hat sometimes and my teacher hat and get to keep them separate.
I love that. Okay, so is there any better grade to teach than second grade?
Well, you know what? I taught kindergarten, and kindergarten has a special place in my heart because they come to you and there's so much growth that happens over the year, not just academics, but how we stand in a line, how we work together. But second grade, I've been there now. This is my 11th year, and they're funny and they still love you and they are hard workers and they get sarcasm. And I'm biased. I know that, but I do love second grade. So yes.
The older that my kids get, every step I thought, oh, I'm going to miss this step. And I just, the next one was always so great. So I was like, oh, I like this one too. Christina, can you tell me from the perspective of a teacher, before we jump into all the kindness stuff, I am wondering what, I mean, have you noticed really that the second graders coming in post COVID have lost a lot from the kindergarten or first grade age?
You know, our team found out at the beginning of the year that as a nation, they were seeing that second grade was hit the hardest because it's that was they missed part of their kindergarten year. And a lot happens to lay that foundation in kindergarten and first grade, and then they come to us. So as far as academics go, we don't see the dip that we anticipated. Yes, there are gaps to fill. However, it's more of those social skills and how to speak with each other, how to play with each other, how to problem solve, things that typically by second grade, they're pretty good at. They need some reminders, but we had a lot of work to do at the beginning of our year to kind of fill that gap.
So what sort of values? I feel like I'm leading you into a question here. I'm not trying to lead you into a question about kindness, but I'm wondering like what sort of values, because some of those things you say, I feel like, kindness could help that or kindness could help that. What sort of values did you have to teach?
Patience. That was a big one. The idea of how other people are feeling, that idea of empathy and understanding why someone might be upset with something that another person did or said. There was a lot of role playing, a lot of picture books. It's elementary school, so we already read a ton of picture books, but we were finding even more to help us teach students just how to speak to each other and what's appropriate behavior on the playground. That's where we saw a lot of it. And some of it was because kids weren't playing sports because sports were shut down. Kids weren't going to parks because parks were closed. And just their interaction, you know, for our district, they weren't in school full time in their first grade year. So they missed some of those things just because the time wasn't there.
Mm-hmm. As a parent, I always read picture books to my kids just as entertainment and sweet time to kind of bond with them. So it never occurred to me that picture books would really have a learning impact, but you think they do?
Absolutely. And what I love about picture books is that, you know, there is that cozy and safe, loving space that's created through books. However, you're allowed through picture books to experience different situations, whether it's a different holiday or a character in the book is celebrating a different holiday or problem solving. What happens is they're allowed to experience that from the safety and the comfort of their own home, from their own classroom. And then they're allowed to ask questions, things that they, you know, find different or things that they just want to know more about. They can do that comfortably instead of being out in the world and asking questions that actually come off maybe as inappropriate, where really it's just a child's curiosity. So that's what I love about picture books.
That's a great point, because I do know for myself with my little one, I can remember walking down the street with him and he was, I don't know, maybe four, and saw somebody who had a prosthetic leg and he said something and I was like, oh my gosh, please let them not have heard, you know, and thankfully that person had such grace. They turned around and they said, hey buddy, I heard you asking about my leg, you know, let me tell you about it. And it was like, oh, thank you for someone who was so merciful with that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it is, as a parent, you're like, you kind of anticipate situations because you don't want someone to take it inappropriately or to be offended, where really it is just a child's curiosity, where if they haven't seen someone that has some sort of prosthetic, they just want to know, wow, what is that? Not, oh my gosh, what is that? Just tell me more.
Yeah. And sometimes you can see that in a book. So neat. How long have you wanted to write a children's book?
I remember my senior year of college. This was about 15, 16 years ago. I was standing looking at this beautiful library. So it was the prettiest building on our very boring campus. And I said, I want to write a book and I want it to be in this library. And at that time, I didn't know exactly what it was going to be. That the idea of kindness took time to really mean something more as a mom and a teacher. The longer I went, I knew that's what I wanted to do.
Once it kind of was like, okay, I'm going to do this. What was that activation moment for you that was like, yes, I'm going to do this?
Well, this is my COVID silver lining. So I was supposed to go back to work. I was set in my classroom with my wonderful team that we had worked all summer of 2020. And I ended up walking away for a variety of reasons. So I walked away for that year and I said, this is the time. I'm home with my family, but my weekends and my evenings that would typically be spent planning, they were writing and they were researching and learning more about the publishing world and that process. And so that was a very special year for me to have off to focus on my family and help accomplish something that's been on my bucket list. And I'm back in the classroom this year and I'm thrilled to be back. But that was a perfect moment for me and my family.
Have the kids in your classroom seen the book yet?
They have. They were actually, they saw it when it went digital, when I had just a digital version before it officially launched. And to read it to a group of kids, they're my target audience, and to see their reaction and to hear their question, like, yes, that was so exciting.
Well, you know, one of the my favorite things about the book is at the beginning of the book, you kind of lay it out for the adults to say, okay, here are questions to think about before you open the book, and then while you're reading, and then after you read the book. And then I noticed on each page, there's also a teeny, teeny, tiny question hiding over in the corner. And so if you're really looking for it, you can see a question that I think would just delight the kids to be able to answer along the way? Did you find that some of those questions you had put in there were natural questions they wanted to ask?
Absolutely. And I know that the questions at the beginning, people are going to take them or leave them. You know, they're there to spark the curiosity before reading, to continue the conversation after the book is finished. But those questions at the bottom corner in the heart of the book, I truly believe that even the youngest listener, a 3 or 4 year old, could answer those questions, such as, well, how can you make someone smile? Or what do you love about yourself? So it allows them to take this idea that's happening to other characters and put it into their own mindset and their own lives, which was so thrilling. And we called it a magic question in the corner. And I think if you just add the word magic, it makes it even more exciting.
Yeah, it's like fairy dust. Yes. And, you know, magic. Yes. Moments. I love it. Okay. So I totally forgot what I was going to ask you there. I was like, yes, I know exactly what I wanted to ask her about with it. And then I went like that with my brain. Does your brain ever do that in the classroom?
Oh, of course. Of course it happens.
Oh, man. So a lot of people that I have talked to just throughout the years have said to me, hey, how do you publish a book? Well, and then I, you know, ask them a little bit more and I find out it's actually a children's book. I think there are a lot of people, a lot of parents, a lot of educators with literature on their hearts. So for those people who say, oh, that's always been on my bucket list too, but I don't know how to find an illustrator and I don't know how to publish and I don't know how to get it on Amazon. Can you walk us through that a little bit?
Sure. One of the best pieces of advice I was given started at the library, and I talked to the children's librarian who gave me a few books, such as the children's market. There's a writers and illustrators for this niche down to children's. And from there, you see a lot of publishers, and some require you to have agents. Some require you to do different submission processes. It all looks different based on the publishing house. So the research end really blew me away. I kind of thought, oh, I'll just submit it and hopefully someone will pick it up. But even to get to that submission step took a long time. It requires a lot of patience because you're waiting. You want someone to love it as much as you love it. And then from there, the process, you know, can look different depending on if you're traditionally published or if you self-publish or if you find that hybrid in between, how much say you have in the process, and the timelines can change. So it's a lot of research. I would start with your local libraries. And also I found a wonderful Women in Publishing Summit that was just filled with information. And it talked all about from writing your story to getting it published and edited to marketing. So I think if you look at those research resources and have an open mind that you don't know it all, that there are plenty of other people who have done it, and ask those people those questions, because people get so passionate about this topic because they know what it was like when they had that dream that they're just hoping somebody will get it out there for them.
Yeah. And I went through the for adults, I've written books that were traditionally published, self-published, and the hybrid of the two. So I've gone through all three of them and have an agent and all of those things. And, you know, sometimes I have a book and I send it to the publisher and the publisher's like, meh, I don't know. No, thanks. You know? And so it takes a little like, okay, this was my
skin.
Cause this is your baby, right? You just pour into it. So would you suggest that somebody actually sit down and write out their book first or do the research first?
Combination of the both. I would suggest that if you have a specific genre, which many writers do, mine was children's, then I broke it down to character strengths, broke it down farther to kindness. Read everything you can that's already out, because you'll see things that are similarities and you'll see things that go, oh my gosh, that's missing. So I think I read over 50 or 60 books specifically on kindness. And I found one that even had a hint of this idea of self-kindness and loving yourself. And I thought, ah, that's missing. That has to go in the book. But that was from doing more research. So I think, you know, we're readers before we're writers. And to keep that in mind, you can always go back and add and edit, and asking other people that are not necessarily your friends or your family, but ask other people, hey, could you read this and give me some honest feedback? I found that part of the process so very helpful.
Okay. Will you unveil the kindness machine for us and tell us what it's about?
Absolutely. The kindness machine takes place in a second grade classroom with teacher Mr. Wilson, who creates all sorts of exciting gizmos and gadgets to help his students learn. He creates this kindness machine, a grandiose machine to teach a concept so tiny that can have such a powerful impact. And his students push different buttons so that they can concretely learn how to be kind, not only to others, but how to be kind to themselves. And in the end, they learn that they each have their own kindness machine inside them to help guide them and spread kindness wherever they go.
I love it. I love it. It's so sweet. And I love the way that your face lights up when you talk about it, because you can tell, like, this is your baby. This is your thing. So I hope you continue to write children's books, because this is definitely, I can tell, it feeds your soul. It's really,
thank you,
really exciting.
You know, be kind almost becomes addictive, because then you get another idea. And so I've got a little notebook that's just filling up right now. And it's exciting to think about in the future, for sure.
More from Christina Dankert in just a second. But first, let's talk about our sponsor, United Faith Mortgage. Okay, truth-telling time. Sometimes things happen, right? We all know that. But I'm talking about things happen in your house, and it's expensive and it's stressful. Like, you know, the entire air conditioning system goes out and it's 99 degrees outside. So you think to yourself, I really need to buy a new air conditioner. Where's that money going to come from? Well, the reality is most of you listening have a highly beautiful surprise hidden inside your home. No, it is not a treasure box. Home values have gone up crazy town the last few years, leaving most of us with a significant chunk of extra money or equity in our homes. That's extra money you can easily cash out. And often, because interest rates continue to be pretty low, you can cash that out without increasing your monthly mortgage or even years on your loan. How cool is that? Well, I got a hookup for you. United Faith Mortgage has worked with tens of thousands of Christian radio and podcast listeners across the U.S. to take advantage of this really extremely unique moment in time. We see listeners use the cash to do all kinds of home updates, pay off credit cards or college debt, take a special family vacation, pay for a wedding, or, you know, like that air conditioner that went out. If you want to look to what's sitting inside your home, they are here to help. Contact United Faith Mortgage at unitedfaithmortgage.com. So can you tell me, when it comes to kindness and when it comes to faith and God, how do those intersect for you?
You know, I think for me, it has to do with the people that are in my life. I feel like they're placed there very purposefully. And the people that no longer are there for, you know, whatever different reasons, there's reasons for that. As hard as some of those times can be as you're going through them, I feel like I'm very lucky and I'm very blessed with the people in my life, you know, not only the family, but friends that feel like family. I think COVID put a very bright spotlight on that. Those people that meant so much to you and mean so much to you, what really mattered, you know, that spotlight was really put there during that time as well. So I have to say the things that I feel, you know, as far as faith goes, and that has to do with the people that I'm surrounded by every day. I'm very fortunate for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's sometimes we forget, we move so quickly that we forget this person in front of me is my gift. It's just a Absolutely. Gift to me. Mm. So Absolutely. I love to have people share a kindness story. This could be something that you did. It could be God's kindness toward you. It could be a time when kindness showed up just when you needed it. So it's all up to you.
Sure. I'll kind of do two short stories here. One, I just absolutely love. At our school, we have a buddy bench. People have called them buddy bench or friendship bench. And there's a hidden bench in the kindness machine. My husband, who is the illustrator, put in a lot of very special touches for us and things that were very meaningful. And what I love is, you know, I'm a second grade teacher, and naturally that age is typically very kind. And it's amazing because kids are on the playground. It's, you know, it's very short time, but if a kid doesn't have a good recess, it can ruin their entire day. So what I love to see, and this is a repeated kind act, where a student barely sits down on the bench and somebody notices and swoops in and says, "Hey, do you want to play?" And they just go. And that just every time, it makes me so happy, because I feel like a few years ago when the bench was new, we had to, as teachers, like point out, hey, do you see them? Scoop them up, you know, so that it was kid led. And now it just seems kids are aware. And I absolutely love that. Another kind moment actually happened with my son. It was at the beginning of this year. A student in his class who previously did not have hearing aids got hearing aids over the summer. And we had read a few books over the summer about hearing aids and that just like how I wear glasses to help my eyes, hearing aids are to help people's ears. And we go through a variety of things. And we got a message from his teacher that he noticed. And he said, oh, I love your hearing aids. They make you special. And just went on about his day. And the teacher took the time to not only acknowledge him for that, but to share it with us as well. So it was a ripple of, because we read these books and had conversations at home, it was a very natural, I like your hearing aid. That's new. It makes you special. And that little line is also hidden in the kindness machine. And that was inspired by our son. So it's extremely, extremely kind actions.
Yeah. And so special. I can't even imagine how that the recipient of that compliment felt in that moment. Yes. Like, oh yeah, I am kind of cool.
Exactly.
How about a kindness tip for those of us from the teacher or the mom in you? Before we let you go, I would love to hear something that we can take out into our lives.
You know, I think all of us are so pressed for time and so many things are time related. So slowing down and doing things simply of just smiling at someone, inviting them in to play with you, or if it's an adult, inviting them to have lunch with you, things that are so simple that can really impact someone's entire day. And I think that also goes in moments where we're waiting in the line at the grocery store or we're feeling rushed at a restaurant, slowing down. Thinking about, especially when there's little people, you know, our little humans around us, that they're hearing and absorbing everything we say and how we speak to wait staff and how we speak to somebody when we're in our car driving and have a little road rage, all those things, just slowing down and breathing for a minute and just knowing little simple things over time absolutely add up and make a very big difference.
Thank you, Christina Dankert, for talking with us today. God bless you. I can't wait to read the next book because The Kindness Machine is so good. So get that little notebook of ideas out and get that happening, okay?
Yeah. Sounds great, Nicole. Thank you so much.
No pressure, right? I just got to get everybody to, you know, do what I want them to do when I want them to do it. And I need another book from Christina. So there you go. Find The Kindness Machine. You are going to love it. You can find it on Amazon or ChristinaDankert.com. Go read somebody you love a book. Have a great day. Once again, thanks to Christina Dankert. I'm Nicole Phillips. This episode of the Kindness Podcast is a product of Northwestern Media, a ministry of University of Northwestern St. Paul. Do you know someone who could use a little extra kindness in their life? Let them know about the Kindness Podcast. Like and subscribe at Apple, Spotify, and Google. And check out my books and blog on the socials at Nicole J. Phillips. Once again, we want to say thank you to United Faith Mortgage. To learn more, go to unitedfaithmortgage.com. United Faith Mortgage is a DBA of United Mortgage Corp, 25 Melville Park Road, Melville, New York, licensed mortgage banker. For all licensing information, go to nmlsconsumeraccess.org, corporate NMLS number 1330, equal housing lender, not licensed in Alaska, Hawaii, Georgia, North Dakota, South Dakota, and Utah.